Well, last week was Father's Day. Amen. Well, I hope everybody had a great Father's Day last week. Did everybody use your knives? he did. All right. We gave knives out last week. And so to all the men. I think they were excited about it. Some wanted a lawnmower and all kind of stuff. I said, oh, Lord, lawnmower. Okay. But I know I use mine. So, but I hope we appreciate you fathers. We appreciate all men because that's what we try to do. Honor all men from 15 on up. Manhood. And so we just wanted to honor all men last week and show our appreciation to you and in the role that you have in your home and what God is doing in your life. So I hope you use that knife to physically cut some things, but also to spiritually use it as a sword, basically to cut the enemy up. And don't let him tear up your family. Don't let him do that. Because it says the enemy's out there trying to destroy. That's his main goal, John 10:10. For the enemy comes to steal and what? Kill and what? Destroy. That's his goal for every Christian home. You know that? He wants to steal from you. He wants to take everything he can from you. He wants to steal your money, however he can do it. He wants to steal your possessions, everything. He wants to steal from you, kill you if he can. If he can't kill you physically, he wants to kill you spiritually. You might say, well, how can he kill you spiritually? When your faith, when you lose your faith in Christ, he can kill you. He can kill you, your faith in you. When he kills that faith and you no longer trust him in who God is, he's been successful. And that's not good. So he comes to what? Kill us, steal from us, and destroy us. And so we don't want that to happen in our hearts and in our lives. But that's not what I'm speaking on today, but that's okay. I want you, if you would, to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. An amazing astonishment. And we know it's all ordained by God. But the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, and he wasn't even one of the original disciples. You know the disciples, you know the 12, and one fell and one was added, Thaddeus, whatever. But he wasn't one of the main 12. But the Apostle Paul, God used this man to write 13 books of the New Testament. And a lot of them that he wrote, some were to Timothy, some were to certain people, but a lot of them were called epistles. And they were written, and an epistle is just a letter that is written to certain churches. And we see that he wrote epistles to the Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and all these. There was quite a few churches there. And he wrote letters to them. There were actual letters. There were actual churches. Like in your Bible, when you start to read at the top, it would say the epistle to the church, or the letter to Colossae, or the Colossians. Colossae is the church that was actually there in that area, in that city. And he would write these letters. And here we see he wrote a letter to the Colossians. And he's writing a letter, they called him Colossians, or Colossae, if you want to say it that way, to the people there. He wrote a letter to them. That means, and when he wrote this letter, he wasn't sitting in his big study with air condition and a TV here and a big desk and everything he wanted. He writing down saying, Lord, show me what you want. Maybe even sitting on his sofa, whatever, I don't know, in there. But he was pinning down the letter to the Colossians in jail. That's amazing. Amen. That his faith was still in Christ and what Christ did and what Christ was going to do through him, that even in jail, that he had the mindset moved by the Spirit of the living God on the inside of him, the unction, if you want to call it that way, of the Holy Spirit upon his life, that he actually, as he was in jail, as the Holy Spirit was with him, was pinning down a letter to the Colossians. That even when, and let me kind of divert from that just a little bit, even when we go through the horrible times that we have to go through sometimes as Christians, that the Holy Spirit is still with us. That the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. And one scripture says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. Draw nigh to him, that means take some steps towards him, and he's always there for us, coming towards us. But as he was in that jail, shackled, his feet shackled, that he, the Holy Spirit, would come upon him and he would start pinning down and writing that letter to that church, that the Holy Spirit would come in that jail. The Holy Spirit comes when we are going through hard times and when things are happening in our lives and we don't understand what's going on. The Spirit of God is still with us. The Spirit of God never diverts from us. The Spirit of God never leaves us. The scripture says, I will never leave thee nor what? Forsake thee. That's a promise you need to have. You need to write that down. That's a promise from God that he says he will never, 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 never leave us or forsake us. Well, then why do we think sometimes we're all alone? Why do we think sometimes we get up and we think, oh my God, today is what day is it? How are we going to make it? When the scripture says, the word of God says, and we know the word of God is truth. We know the word of God is something we can rely upon, that he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. That he will not let us go in a direction that he knows will destroy us, but he will woo us in and try to draw us back unto him. He will never, ever leave you. He will never, ever forsake you. You know, probably as far as I know of, at one time in our lives, we've all given our hearts to him. In John chapter 3, it talks about being born again. Nicodemus said, well, how can I be born again? And it was born of the Spirit. And we've all know, I know personally, I know where I was. I know what house I was in. I know where I was sitting. And I know who led me that day into the sinner's prayer. Starting out with prayer. It's an amazing thing that none of us can go to the Father without, first, if you want to say it this way, being born again. We can call upon him and he will answer and he will do some things, but he wants us to become a child of his and trusting him and loving him and being what he desires and wants us to be. But it all started out with a prayer. It started out with the Holy Spirit drawing us, and one day we had to surrender. And we surrendered unto him and we called out a prayer and we said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I ask you to forgive me, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that he died on the cross, he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. That was our initial praying, started with prayer. But sometimes after that prayer, we lose prayer somewhere down the line. We were drawn in to the kingdom with prayer, and we need to continue to pray and seek God. Now look at this. Look in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse 2. He's talking to them. He's saying, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Here we see, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we got to remember, this is not, God only used man to pin it down. But it's actually the words of our God, our Father, that he's writing down and sending that letter to. And he's saying, Colossians, to the church in Colossae, continue to pray. Because the Holy Spirit had showed him that their prayer started to go a little to the side, to the left, which they weren't praying as much anymore. Now, I want to say this also. Just because we pray X amount of time doesn't mean that person is holier than another person. Mm-mm-mm-mm. We're to pray to God. We need to take some time each day as a Christian, as a child of God. Not as a pastor, not as a leader of any kind, but just as children of the living God, we're to take time to continue in that prayer time with God. That we have a place initially that's secluded with just us, that is basically, if you want to say soundproof, if you want to say it that way, a place where we can go to God and we can praise him and honor him and thank him, and where he can speak to us. Because right after he started praying, not long after that, as Paul was telling the Colossians to pray, God was telling him certain things. You see, we want God to speak to us, but we need to take some time that we allow him to speak to us. That we take some solitude time, that we say, okay, from whatever time, and we go to God and we say, Lord. And we build that relationship with him. We get to know the Father. And as we pray and we open our Bibles and we start to read, the power of God comes into that room. And the anointing of God helps us. And soothes those hurts and gives us direction and shows us what to do. As a church, we need to continue to seek God, to pray, to honor him, to take that solitude time that we can. It may be 10 minutes, whatever it may be. It may be 30 minutes, whatever it may be. I'm talking about solitude time that is just you and him. I know throughout the day I pray. I mean, I do the mail and stuff, so I pray all day basically, trying to. Just honoring him, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Praise God. Speak in tongues. We are a spirit-filled church. Some people may not believe it. Doesn't matter to me anymore. Doesn't matter. I know it's truth. I know many people have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer language that God gives unto you. If you've been saved and saved and given your heart to the Lord, you need to seek it. You see, you need to say, Lord, I know your word is true. Because in Acts chapter 2, it talks about them being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they went out and preached the gospel. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentile Pentecost and the power of God came in there, and they started to speak with other tongues, and the power of God came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they went out and preached the gospel. They went out and preached the gospel with power. With power. You might say, well, isn't there a measure of faith and a measure of the Holy Spirit when you get saved? Yes, that comes in. But the initial filling of the Holy Ghost, we need it. You need to desire it. You need to have it in your life. You might say, well, do I have to have it to get to heaven? No. No, 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 no. When you got saved, that was your initial ticket to heaven. That's it. But I tell you what, why would you want to? That's like on Christmas morning. The Christmas tree is there and all that other stuff. And more papers flying all over because they're being opened. And there's one present under there, a big one, that has your name on it. And your father and mother has bought it for you. And your name is on it from the father and from your father and mother. And they're saying, Joe, that's my name. Put your name. It's yours. And I say, oh, no, 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 no. I have enough. I have enough. Give it to somebody else. It's a big one. Huge. Shouldn't you desire that package? Because it's something you really want. It's a bike in there, and you really want it. That's what the Holy Spirit is. God the Father has given it to the church, and we're to get it. Ask God for it. You know, I had Johanna come up here not long ago. She was just in song service, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, she started speaking. She just yielded herself, and the Spirit of God started coming out of her as far as speaking in tongues, people. Desire it. You might say, well, you know, I don't know. Believe it. It's truth. It's yours if you want it. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that gives you the strength and the power to do what God has called you to do. But he told the Colossians, continue praying. People, don't give up on your prayers. Because you see, the enemy's out there, and we talked about that. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to destroy the faith of God's people. And let me tell you, there's an enemy out there that's trying to destroy you and I because we're God's children. Amen. And that's old Slewfoot out there. We know him. He's the enemy. He's the enemy out there. He tries to steal, kill, and destroy. But it says, the second part of that verse says, Jesus has come to give us life and that we have life more abundantly. Oh, that's the greatest thing. That he has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. You see, we fight against principalities and powers in high places. There are things out there that are just not good. But you see, it's the blood of Jesus that covers us. It's the blood of Jesus that keeps us safe. It's the blood of Jesus, the cross, that gives us victory. It's the blood. The blood. The blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross by Jesus. From his head to his feet to his arms to his side. To give us the victory that we so deserve. You see, when we first got saved, we were justified by God. My God. You know, I heard some people say, just as if you never sinned, justified. We're justified by God. God looks at us as his children, as his daughters and his sons. But then it takes sanctification, God working in us. God working in us. To take out, and you know what's the amazing thing? God has to work in us till the day we die because of our human nature. Because we're looking to have a God nature, a God conscience, a God nature on the inside of us. And it takes God to keep working in us and through us. It takes the Holy Spirit to continue to work in our hearts and in our lives. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Praying. Take time to pray. Take time to pray. Take that solitude time sometime during the day. Could be in your house, could be in your vehicle, could be whatever. Wherever. But tell Jesus how much you love him. Tell Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Tell the Father thank you for sending his Son. Thank the Holy Spirit that he's here to help us, to lead us, and to guide us, and to strengthen us on the inside. See, it's the Holy Spirit's job to clean us up. It's the Holy Spirit's job to strengthen us. Honestly, none of us, none in myself included, can overcome anything in our lives. We can't do it. But the God in us can. Hallelujah. That's the difference. And the God in us moved, that is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. He strengthens us and leads us and guides us and shows us how to get victory in every area that we need victory in. You might say, well, Pastor, man, I failed this week. I did this and I did that. And okay. What you do is you go to the Father and you say, Father, forgive me. That's what you do. See, you run to the Father. Don't run away from him. Run to him. And when you get to him, you just ask, say, Father, forgive me. And the blood of Jesus comes and forgives us. And you say, Lord, strengthen me and help me. And let me tell you what the Spirit of God can do. When we call upon him, it says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things. Call on him. Call upon him. Call upon him. Look at this. I want to read this scripture to you. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Starting with verse 35. Now, talking about Jesus now. It says this, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Now, if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we? Huh? I mean, let's face it. I mean, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's in a physical body. Yes, he has done this. And it says, and Simon and they who were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for you. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I therefore. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all the Galilee and cast out devils. It's an amazing thing. Look at verse 39. He preached first. Then the devil. Then they cast out devils. Preaching of the gospel is always first, people. Preaching of the gospel is always first. Always. Always. It's the gospel that saves people. But here we see Jesus. He went to a solitude place because he needed the Father to help him. And the Father gave him direction. He said, go into the other town. Other place. God showed him what to do. He took that time. How dare we think, and even myself, when I say that to you, I'm saying it to me. How dare we think we can live our Christian lives without spending time with the Father? Say it again. How dare we think we can live a successful, maybe that's the right word, Christian life without spending time with the Father? Because you see, this is the thing. The Father knows everything about us. Sometimes we think too much, huh? But that's okay. He loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loves us. That's what moved him to send his, to the Father to send his Son. Love moved him. We need to spend that time, people, sometime during the day. Might be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If I tell you a time, if I were to tell you a time that you had to spend time with God, that would be man telling you what to do. Nope, nope, nope. But when the Spirit of God wakes you up and says, okay, now get up. It's time for you to pray. Well, then you get up and you obey the Spirit of the Lord. When you turn over in that bed, and I know sometimes I want to turn over and just take the covers. It feels so good. Huh? And and it's about 30 minutes before you actually need to get up, and you look at that clock with one little eye open, and you know you should get up just to spend some time with him. Get up. Just get up. Just get up. Go in your living room. Go in your bedroom or whatever. Whatever place. I don't know. Every house is different. Sit down. Get on your knees. Whatever you want to do. And just say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. You're the great God, Jehovah. I praise you. I honor you. And I thank you. And you take and you pray about your things in your life. You pray for the church. You pray for your pastors. You pray for the things that you know is going on. And you take out your Bible and you start reading a chapter maybe. And you get that word in you. Then you go off to your job and you do what you got to do. And throughout the day, when you think about it, you say, Jesus, I love you. Or Jesus, Lord, anoint the pastors. Lord, be with our church. Be with my mother and my father. Be with me. Lord, give me wisdom today because I'm facing this today. And you'll see God will change things in your life like you never thought he would. And he will give you the direction, the victory, and the help that you and I need to live a successful Christian life. As our faith is in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross only. Amen. God bless you guys. Why don't you stand, please? All righty. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As every head is bowed for just a minute, if you don't mind, just a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart to him? Have you given your heart to him? If you've never given your heart to him and you'd like to do that today, would you please raise your hand and indicate to me that's what you want? Checking to make sure. Maybe, I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Maybe you've given your heart to the Lord once before. And maybe you want to rededicate your life to him this morning. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you'd like to do that, would you please raise your hand? I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you for being brave. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together because we have like four or five people that raise their hand to rededication and one to get saved. Say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you into my heart and into my life. I believe that you died on the cross. And you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, my God. And I will live for you from this day forward. Into your hands, I place my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, guys. Jelaine and I know Jelaine's in with the children there. But I want to tell you this. We appreciate you guys. We thank God for you. And we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. And live for God. Study your word, the Bible. and pray and seek him with all your heart. And we certainly do appreciate you. And thank you for coming to church. You're doing what's right. You're setting aside that first day to give him honor and glory. We appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. God bless you. You are dismissed.